We had to start. So one of the questions that was asked by one of the brothers there was that, you know, we were talking about karma. Whatever kind of karma you do, you get the return. You give sorrow, you get sorrow. So the question was that if somebody murder someone, so does it mean that I will be murdered by that person in the next birth? I said no. Actually, when one performs karma, it is the intention and intensity. Suppose if somebody murders someone with a lot of intense grudge and dislikingness and hate, the intensity, so that suffering will come back the same intensity, but not necessarily same action. Intensity, pain will be the same, but action is not the same. Action could be anything else, but the intention and intensity counts, not the physical action. So that was the answer. And the second question sister was asking, can you repeat the question so everybody knows? I understood. Can you give mic, please? Yeah, take the mic. So in the meantime, you can think about it if anybody has any question. Yeah.
My question was... Keep closer.
My question was, if you have good intentions in terms of taking care of like an animal when it's sick and it has cancer and you've done a lot to keep it alive, but then it's created a lot of pain and suffering for that being, then later on you question yourself, maybe I shouldn't have done that. I was just wondering what kind of, because you had a good intention, but in reality you've created pain because you thought maybe the animal would live, but then it didn't. So it didn't come out in the way you thought.
First of all, what I need to understand is animals also have soul, right? But the only difference between animal soul and human soul is animal soul don't have intellect to think right and wrong. You decide for them. They don't decide. And another thing I need to understand is a dog will become a dog only. A cat will become a cat only. A human being become a human being only. Because we used to think before that, you know, according to Charles Darwin theory, we came from the apes, but that's not true. Man was never a beast. He will never become a beast, but now he's worse than a beast. You agree? Because animals also don't kill the animals of their own species. But human beings have become cannibals. They eat the meat of human beings, not let alone killing. To that extent, they have become barbaric, you know. And so, we need to understand this very clearly. So, animal will become animal only. You did not give suffering to the animal. Your intention was to help. That animal suffered because, you know, intentionally or unintentionally, it must have caused the same pain to another animal of their own species. So the suffering came to that dog, not because of your intention. You don't need to blame. Because you helped the dog to give medication, looked after, but the suffering of the karma is of the past. Even the dog has a past. So it is settling of that karma, but it will not have any feeling because it doesn't have intellect. Human beings take sorrow. Og itself did not suffer. You suffered. Because you have an intellect to think, you know. So you suffer because of the attachment I created with that dog. But your intention was good. You did not give any pain to that.
And so what if the same is true, like in a human situation where you've kept someone alive?
And can you?
Well, I mean through the hospital situations where they give you a choice to keep someone alive or not.
Oh, that is a very big issue. That is what they call mercy killing, right? Means, it's a religious, a very big issue nowadays. I think it is the choice of the people, you know. If someone wants the person inject and, you know, they all agree to do it, they cannot see the suffering of the person, that is their choice. Mm. But it's a big issue in our world today. But according to morality, it is not right in a way. You know, we just need to allow the soul to remain in the body as long as it has to. Because nobody has right to, you know, bring an end to anybody's body. But then if someone does, that is their problem. But it's not morality. According to, yeah.
How does, in Christian religion, we believe in the grace of God, so that we are all sinners, we all do things that are wrong, none of us are perfect. But because God loves us and wants us to have a good relationship with Him and knows we're not perfect, He forgives us. And yes, there is this law of karma, but He forgives us. So how does the grace of God fit in with the law of karma, the karma, karmic law?
Actually, it's only here, you know, because law of karma is logic. So even though He loves you, He loves you, that is why He has the grace to guide you. To that extent He come out to teach you what is good karma, what you do this, you will get this. Don't do this. This is bad karma, you get this. So He leaves you open to choose. Make choice. That is His grace. You know? But then after I choose, He cannot help. He cannot help. Forgiveness is to guide me in the right direction, you know, not to looking at the past, but then if I do not follow that direction, I have to forgive myself first.
Just to follow up, even as a human parent, my child may make a wrong decision, even horrendous as an adult, make a wrong decision, but me as the mother would still be there to love that child, forgive them, and do everything I can to help them. And wouldn't God do the same?
There is also a limit. See, all of us are allowed to make mistake once, okay? All of us are allowed. Nobody is perfect, I agree. So once I made a mistake, I must realize I made a mistake and I must ask for forgiveness. I made a mistake. So then I am forgiven. But if I make the same mistake second time, knowing I should not be doing, still God is merciful. If I guarantee Him I will never do it again, He will, second time He will forgive. But no more third time. That is why the Supreme Justice, He has to adopt Supreme Justice. Justice law is law. You know, so this we do not understand. We take the advantage. Okay, you keep doing mistake and you ask for forgiveness. God keep forgiving you. You keep doing mistake. So that is not the right way to live. Yeah, one time you make a mistake, it's totally forgiven. We did not know. Second time also He is happy to forgive. Provided I guarantee I will not do it. But if I'm doing it again and again, law is law. Make sense? Okay.
Sister, good morning. We are about 5,000 million people in the planet, more or less, nowadays. We used to be less, and we're supposed to be 9,000 billion in the next 30 years. Animals, you said they have a soul as well.
Yeah.
Though they don't have an intellect. Yeah. Would plants have a soul? And
plants don't have soul. this is something also to understand. Plants are called living organisms. They are not called living beings. Animals and humans are called beings. I have studied biology, that's my experience. So they are called living organisms. They have certain substance which respond to human vibration. Now that is why, suppose if you are a positive thinker, if you are looking after the plant responds to you positively, it grows faster. Doesn't mean it has a soul, but it responds to your vibrations, the substance in the plant. But animals do have souls, but they don't have intellect. You have to guide them. Whatever you teach, they learn. But human beings today, in the human body, having intellect, not using the intellect, that is the worst part. Animals, right?
And the question would be, what is the number of souls fixed? How does this work?
Means, of course, you know, this is something we understand in Raja Yoga. Until now, we did not know. How is the population growing? Even though people are dying, but still population is growing. Where are all these souls coming from? So there is an answer. So we have a world of souls beyond this world of cosmos, the three worlds. The world in which we are living today is called corporeal world, the sun, moon and the stars. Above that is the astral region, and beyond that is the element of light. Some call it nirvana, you know, highest heaven, brahmanda, whatever. So that is the home of souls. There are stock of souls. So still souls are coming. And the law of drama is, once we come to play our part here, we cannot go back in between. So they have to stay here until the end. So that is why the number of souls are always in the increase. You know? And of course, once all the souls come down, then the return journey begins.
Thank you.
Yeah. Yes, please. Aap thoda madad kar lo. If you are not convinced about the answer, please you can ask me back. We want you to understand clearly so that you can put it into practice, what wisdom you get from here. It's very, very important wisdom for our life.
I'm just wondering about, for example, the co-worker who everyone likes her except for that one person, gives her a hard time. Mm-hmm. And that's her karma from the past. But what about the doer? She's the receiver, but the doer. Is she being used to have the other person pay the karma?
See, there are two persons, right? One, the person who is not liked by one particular individual. All others are okay. Mm-hmm. One particular individual is hating, creating obstacles to the other person. Mm-hmm. Now, why that is happening only to that person, not to anybody else? Because she has behaved in the same way with that soul in different bodies in the past.
Correct.
So she has initiated this act.
I agree.
And the other person only returning to what she has done. But the thing is, it is difficult to accept because you don't remember. Because it may not be immediate past. It could be some many years of the past. So because I cannot remember, it's very hard to accept. I initiated. But according to the law of karma, nothing can happen. Mm-hmm. You know, there cannot be smoke without fire.
Right. Mm-hmm. But the person who's hating is creating bad karma.
No,
herself.
She's settling. The one who is behaving bad is settling karma with that soul. But that person should understand. You know, suppose if I am A and the other one is B, B is creating problem to A, say. Mm-hmm. So now A has already initiated bad karma in her past life, so B is only returning. So if A can understand that I am the one who is responsible for this sin, she will not react for the bad behavior.
But hating is bad karma.
No. No. When she don't react, she will settle down.
Okay.
She will continue to act positively, consciously with her, creating good karma. But at the same time, inside her, understand this is happening to me because I am the cause initiated. So the good karma with that soul, in spite of her doing bad karma, she will continue to do good karma with her, in spite of her disrespecting her or jealousy, because she understands, I am the one who initiated, so the karma will be settled faster because of her positive energy, you know, positivity. The energy of positivity actually erases the bad karma faster. But if she begins to react, it triggers off even more. But this is something we need to really deeply contemplate. You know, so that I can take the responsibility. Many of us don't want to, because we don't remember. We don't remember any time we have behaved like that, you know. Mm-hmm. But we have. Why it is happening to me and not to the 90 people working in the office? You know, even sometimes it happens with a neighbor. You just go to a new place, you stay, suddenly the neighbor becomes such a big problem. You don't even know them, who they are. But then, you know, somewhere you brought you there to settle some karma. We didn't know that there was a karma with that person in that house. It's only afterwards we understand. But when we have this wisdom in our mind, we don't react. You know, when you react, you multiply the karma more.
Yes,
but you respond. That is what is important. When you are soul conscious, you respond. When you are body conscious, you react. When you react, you trigger more of the karmas.
But that means that people can use settling karma as an excuse.
No, it's not an excuse. It is a fact. It is happening to me. It's not intention, you know. It is only happening to me, but not to anybody else. So why?
No, the doer, the person that's doing it.
No. It's a doer. If they take advantage, I would not think about it. Because I will continue to do good karma. Mm-hmm. And I will settle my karma because my positivity will not make them take advantage also.
Okay.
Because positive energy is so pure, it will not make people to take advantage.
Okay.
Yeah? No. B, because if they intentionally take advantage, the A has enlightenment, B don't have enlightenment.
B is enlightened.
No. They don't. If they have enlightenment, they won't take advantage. If they have enlightenment, they wouldn't take advantage. No, that is also karma. Deep, deep philosophy of karma. It cannot be without. But because A has the enlightenment, they will not allow the reaction to come from themselves. So then if you are enlightened, you will calm down. You won't react. You won't,
so
because
you will
settle. That is, by not reacting, you are settling. Not reacting, you are settling. Reacting is creating. Even though you know you feel I hate, that hate will change into love. That will disrespect will change into respect. No, you will not create any more bad karma. You know. Yeah, think about it. I think you have to just go deep a little bit more. No, if it will not have that feeling at all. If there is realization, that feeling will not remain anymore. No, if it is, it all depends on the percentage and intensity. It is not the same with everyone, you know. It's very deep philosophy, you know. It's not the same intensity. Yeah?
No, because my question was exactly this. Do I have to
for example, pay for a karma or to suffer a consequence, even though I'm enlightened now, so I have learned that lesson already.
But I have performed, no excuse, that has to be settled. See, you have
regardless
taken
my
loan,
enlightenment.
You have borrowed loan from someone, so you have to pay back the loans, isn't it? Whether it is today or tomorrow, you have borrowed money from someone. You may have forgotten, but the one person who, from whom you have borrowed, they remember. So you have to settle the bill that you have borrowed in whatever way, because sometimes it could be mental torture, sometimes it could be physical torture, sometimes it could be connected with nature. It could be in different ways. But there is no way out, getting out of
it. So my enlightenment doesn't impact how much karma or how much do I have to pay. I can be enlightened this life, and even though I can be paying over
and over
again.
Yeah, because we don't know how much karma we have created.
Yeah, that sounds quite
endless.
See, even
like, for example, now we are in the knowledge for 50 years, say for me now. So I may have still karma to settle with some souls. I have some karma to settle with my body. I have pain in my body. I have to pay for the doctors. I have to go for the hospital. Means even though I am continuing to perform good karma, I am creating for the future. But what I have already done, I cannot be excused. But because I have knowledge, the pain is less.
Okay.
The sorrow is less. You know, when you can settle with lot of sorrow, with less sorrow, because of the enlightenment, when I have pain, I don't have sorrow in my mind. No, that is the beauty of it. You know, many Rajyogis, you see, so they go to the hospital, they get operated, they have cancer. You know, doctors are amazed. Of course, they are settling karma, but at the same time, they are creating good karma in a way. When these people see them, you know, they have pain, sorrow. So they can heal their sickness faster than the other patient. So doctor, compare. How come this patient can walk in one day, operated, and this patient cannot even get up from the bed? Because they want a lot of self-pity. But whereas the other one accepts and they are able to take responsibility, they also have pain, but no sorrow. You know, the wisdom allows you. That is why we say pain is inevitable. Sorrow is optional.
Okay.
Right?
Thank you.
Yeah. So this is the beauty of it. We all still settling. We don't say we have finished. You know, we have not finished. Because like say, even founder father, you know, many senior sisters, 80 years in Gyan, practicing meditation. Of course, whatever good karma they have accumulated for the future, that is definitely there. But what has been done already, that has to be settled in different ways. But because of wisdom, meditation, healing is faster, no sorrow, no self-pity.
Okay.
So that's the sign of enlightened souls.
Hello, sister.
Yeah.
How many lives do the soul have?
According to God's versions, human beings take maximum 84 births. Minimum one. In 5,000 years. But we don't go into discussion about that topic because today is not that topic. But just because you asked me the question, I'm just answering to the point.
Okay. I'm just wondering, how many lives do I need to sell my karma?
Means, just for your information, no, it is a lesson connected tomorrow. So I think you wait until tomorrow you get the answer. Yeah, because it's connected with the world cycle, the how we go through the cycle of life, then you will get the answer. I don't want to attempt to answer it today.
Thank you. And the other question will be, what about soulmates? In all this, that will be then, if we say that the soul is unique, so the soulmate
no,
in terms of love?
There is no connection of soulmates in this drama, because each soul have a distinct role to play. whatever features I have in one birth may not be the same in the next birth, because our features are connected to our karma, our personality. And so no two souls can be the same. That's the beauty of this variety drama. So tomorrow you know more about it. So okay, today we are only talking about one part. You know, drama and karma are like two sides of the same coin. One cannot go without the other. But I don't want to interfere in tomorrow's topic. So I want you to wait for a while. But today we are dealing with one part.
Okay.
Part one, karma. You know, karma yoga, we say Raja Yoga, is also called karma yoga, which means yoga in action. So we practice karma yoga, that means spirituality in action. While performing action, using soul consciousness, using God consciousness, being self-master will allow us to improve the quality of our action. So our quality of action is enhanced through meditation. That's what I was mentioning this. So when I am practicing soul consciousness while performing action, that is called karma yoga, my action's quality is improved. My actions will be beautiful, my actions will be accurate, my actions will be of quality. I will take half of the time I would have taken comparing to my past. So I will still have a lot of spare time. You know, nowadays when we ask people to come and meditate, they say, if I find time, I will see. But they would never say, I will make time for it. So why? Because it is not the priority. When you have priority for something, you make time. When it is an optional thing, you say you will find time. And you will never find time for it. So karma yoga actually helps me to be master of my time. When you are having spirituality in action, you have presence of your mind. Where there is presence of the mind, your time is managed well. You know, time and thoughts are connected. Time and thought are connected. If you are thinking waste, unnecessary, you are also wasting your time. Automatic. So when I am soul conscious, I am having presence of my mind. So I am able to just focus on the present. I save time, save thoughts. And that helps me to enhance the quality of my action. And the proof of having quality action is that I will be able to enhance my self-respect, self-esteem, which is a very important thing in our society today. You know, to have that self-esteem. So I am able to maintain my self-esteem on the basis of the actions that I perform in soul consciousness. Who am I? Whose child am I? You know, where I have come from? What is the purpose of my existence here? So I am not just performing action like animal, isn't it? Without thinking. You know? So I think of the consequences. I think about the past, present and future. And so I take responsibility for what I am doing. So that is called wisdom. So what we gain through Raja Yoga is not intelligence. You don't become an intellectual. You become a wise person. You will have the wisdom to balance your life between your head and the heart. You know, sometimes we are very heady, very analytical, and sometimes we are very emotional. right? So there is no balance. So our actions are not under our control. But when we are soul conscious, our head and heart is balanced. That means emotional side, analytical side is balanced. So I am able to take responsibility to do the right action, even though sometimes, you know, people may be against me, but in spite of the odds outside, I am able to maintain my self-esteem. So that is why Raja Yoga is also called Karma Yoga. And we always encourage people to combine meditative thoughts. Most of the time we are in action orientation, isn't it? You know? So if I do not combine meditative thoughts, then I will not be able to make it natural. Because it's natural to perform action. All that I need to do is to just bring in spirituality. And spirituality has three concepts. To know myself, who I am. To know what is my relationship with Supreme. And the third is how I use the five elements of matter, you know, which is the body. So if I know the relationship between these three and attain mastery over them, so that means I am using spirituality in action. So I take responsibility for my positive change. So again, another important phrase I want to leave with you. See, thoughts are inevitable. Thoughts are inevitable. You cannot stop thinking. Can you? But thinking is optional. Thoughts are inevitable. Thinking is optional. You know, many, many thoughts can come, but your intellect will choose only what to think. Right? You don't need to think all the thoughts you have. Understand? So when I know I have a choice to think, why not I choose positive thought? That's why it is said you become what you think. If you think you have a problem, you have. But if you look at a situation as a challenge, it is not a problem. So I am able to use this choice to think when my intellect is awake. And when I am soul conscious, my intellect is, this is a proof. When I am soul conscious, my intellect is awake. When I say intellect awake means my power of decision making is precise. I don't have any regret after I have made decision. If I have any regret after I have made decision, that means my intellect was sleeping, I acted according to my emotions. Too quickly, too hurriedly, you know. And then I spent whole day repenting. Because after we have performed action, our conscience awakens. You know? Mind, intellect and personalities are three faculties of the soul, but within the intellect submerged is our conscience. So when the intellect is asleep, the conscience is suppressed. So the mind overrides the intellect and we perform some action and then we regret. Conscience bite. Right? You have experience? Prick. But then, what is the solution? So if I have experienced that once, next time I should be careful, isn't it? That means I must listen to my conscience very often. Make your conscience your best friend. Listen to it very often. Those who make their conscience their best friend have no regret in life. Because conscience is the seat of truth. It is the same for all of us, whether you live in east, west, north, south. It's the same. It's the seat of truth. Truth is one, universal. But because I am body conscious, my mind is chattering a lot, so my conscience is suppressed. Even though I know it is wrong, I do it. I know it is right, I don't do it. You know, we become our own enemies. We become our own friends. You have heard? Man is his own enemy and he is his own friend. How? You know, we know intellectually this is wrong, I shouldn't do it. But we go against our conscience and do it. That means it is like killing my conscience, giving myself sorrow. So with meditation practice, I keep my intellect awake. So my intellect is dictated by my conscience. That is called enlightened intellect. No, that is called opening of the third eye. So I allow my conscience to dictate my intellect, so there is no duality. You know, many times we have duality. My mind says one thing, my intellect says one thing. I don't know, I am panicky, you know, confused. So when you find yourself in that kind of state, just return to yourself and ask yourself, who am I? Remind yourself, I am a soul. Become soul conscious. Pause. Let your mind, intellect, personality come together. Then you hear your inner voice speaking to you. Right? And then, whatever actions I do, there's no kind of regret. Clear conscience. So this is the practice, you know, karma yoga means using this wisdom to keep my intellect awake. So I need to, in the beginning, I need to practice a lot. You know, every time I use the word I have to remind myself, I the soul, I am a point of light, I am a peaceful soul, I am doing this. I the soul, I am talking, I the soul. We forget because soul is so tiny, body is so big. You know, we tend to identify ourselves with this skin so fast. But with practice we can master this art, definitely. It is possible. So in that way we practice yoga in action. Karma yoga, you know. So my experience understanding the law of karma is that we become responsible for our life. We don't blame our parents, we don't blame our government, we don't blame our teachers, we don't blame nature, we don't point this finger like this. We take responsibility to change ourselves. That is why our organization's main motto is, when I change, world changes. When there is self-transformation, then there is world transformation. If I go to change somebody, I cannot do. I can only change myself. And change always begins here, thinking about myself, who I am. You know, it's just a matter of one thought. You know, just changing your consciousness changes your whole pattern of thinking. Instead of thinking of myself as a body, if you bring the awareness of thinking of yourself as a soul, so as is your consciousness, so is your state of mind. As is your state of mind, so is your attitude. As is your attitude, so is your vision, your words, your action, everything will follow. The key is awareness. Awareness. Self-awareness. If I can be consciously aware of myself, I am able to take my mind in the right direction. You see, mind is like a horse, right? And intellect is like a horse rider. Can you visualize? Mm-hmm. Mind like a horse and intellect like a horse rider. Mm-hmm. Now, practically saying, if the horse rider is sitting on the horse, he should control the horse. But today we are not able to control our mind. Mm-hmm. What is missing? Can you tell me? No, normally, if a horse rider is sitting on the horse, still the horse is riding me. Horse is riding the horse rider, not the other way. So what is missing there? Yeah, the reins. The reins. When the horse rider don't have the reins in his hand, the horse will ride him. So that is what is happening to our life. So what are the reins here? Self-awareness. Because of forgetting my real self, I am a soul. My mind is taking the intellect wherever it wants. The intellect doesn't have any power. And now with the practice of soul consciousness, I hold the reins in my hand. I attain mastery over myself. I take my mind wherever I want and stay there as long as I want. So I am in control. So this is an exercise I have to practice all the time. You know, we have allowed the horse freedom for a long time. And now suddenly you want to control. Maybe the horse won't obey. No, this one tomorrow lesson. Yeah. Sorry. Yeah, it's a good question. History hall, why we call this history hall is because this is a place where the founder father used to come every morning to speak God's versions. God's versions were spoken every morning. All this knowledge that you are listening here is the versions of God Almighty that we are sharing with you. So this room has that vibration. All these photographs are the, you know, photographs taken during different occasions. You know, as our organization started in 1936 in Pakistan, Sindh, Hyderabad, Karachi, then for 14 years they were staying there. Some of the photographs are from Karachi. And then they moved to Mount Abu in 1952. So it was a small place. Then this was constructed. And so this is where every day's discourse was held. So this has a lot of wisdom, knowledge, vibrations, the whole place is filled with that sentiments, you know. You can feel the vibrations different because this is where a lot of meditation has happened, a lot of experiences of the people. So this is where they say that if you want to remove your waste thoughts, you meditate here and your waste thoughts will be replaced by positive thoughts.
The karma with the mother, sister, brother, you know, your close ones, when they passed away, does that karma follows you in the next birth?
Of course, that is what we said, when someone leaves the body, take whatever action they have done with them, but not necessarily they will be coming back to the same family. You know, the karma will not bring them back to the same family. It may or may not.
Okay, so with me, say like I am detached. I mean,
Do we get detached when they died and go on?
See, what happens is that people take a lot of sorrow when people depart, loved ones. The reason for taking sorrow is attachment to the body. If you are enlightened beforehand that the love is in the soul and you love that soul and the soul never dies, it is existing forever, I won't take sorrow. But because I am in ignorance, I thought I have love for the body, now the body is not anymore, so I take sorrow because of the absence of that physical presence. But enlightenment of Raja Yoga helps me to overcome that situation. I will let that soul go. You know, just like when somebody is going to foreign countries, how do you give them send-off? You say, bon voyage. Have a good trip. So they are also going from one body to another. So wish them bon voyage. Yeah? Because they have finished their part with you. They have to go and play part somewhere else. So when I imagine that somebody is waiting to receive them, I bid them farewell with happiness. But because we are attached to the body, you know, that is what makes us feel sad. So we understand through meditation the difference between attachment and love. It's not that attachment is actually connected with the body. Love is in the soul. If you love the soul, you let it go and be happy wherever it has to be. Yeah. Any other questions, anyone? Yeah?
I'm just curious to know about monks, because they go up to the mountain, they don't have anyone to cure their karma with. Does that make them perfect souls?
Not necessarily, they don't have any karma. Oh,
they have.
They have also.
But how do they settle it? With whom?
No, because they have their own, you know, they have to live together. I know many monks. Mm. They are not like living in isolation in one cave by themselves.
Something.
Yeah, they have to live in communities and they have to go through a lot of hardship. Oh, it's not an easy life. I have seen practically, you know. So one monk was telling me that, you know, when they go out after the monastery, from the monastery, in the morning they leave and they don't know when they come back where they are going to sleep. They don't know what they are going to eat. They don't know. It means whatever they get, they have to accept. You know, it means they consciously want to go through that hardship. Consciously to understand, you know, what is people going through in the world today. Mm-hmm. It's not like they have any kind of a advantage of settling karma in a different way.
Okay.
So anything else, anybody?
Actually, it's not just a question, but can you speak a little bit what happens, let's say, in the last stage of the karma when everything is paid, or how is that final change when you have, let's say, a positive outstanding, or in how maybe you can use your extra positive balance to help the others, or can you just speak briefly about that, please?
What's your question?
Just to understand, so the karma that we live today is the karma of a past life. So what happened with the things that I did in 3 years ago or last week?
No, there are, I forgot to mention, there are short-term karma, there's a long-term karma. You know, short-term negative karma, long-term negative karma, short-term positive karma, and long-term positive karma. For example, say, short-term positive karma. So today I have excess of food. I ate as much as I want. I saw somebody hungry. I give that extra food to them. So the people who are hungry, they feel happy. So I did some good karma. And they say, God bless you. You know, like short-term good karma brings instant happiness. You get the reward immediately. Now, long-term positive karma means like, say, you have a lot of money. You invest money to build a hospital. You invest money to build a university. That is investment for a long time. So, you will receive the reward of that investment that in the next life you will be born healthy, you will believe. So long-term investment, that's positive. Now negative short-term karma means like say, I get angry with someone, I shout at the top of my voice, I hit somebody, like short-term.
Mm-hmm.
So, as a result of that, what happens? I lost my peace of mind. So, the one who gets angry, they get so exhausted, they go and sleep. After that, they feel so guilty, you know. Means, of course, so immediately you take sorrow. You give sorrow, but you did not realize you get already.
Mm-hmm.
So, long-term negative karma is like what we spoke earlier. Like, you know, you really murder someone. You intentionally kill someone to take revenge, so that means you cannot escape. Or even some people commit suicide. You know, like, it's a long-term bad karma. So according to the karma philosophy, suicide is the worst karma we should never perform, because it's always performed by those who have unfulfilled desires, and who have done something that cannot be done. But they think it's an escape, you know. But it is not an escape, because those souls will not find bodies easily. They have to be wandering spirit, because their body is not ready. They have destroyed their body before time. So that means that souls have some karmic account with particular souls in relationship. You know, sometimes we talk about evil spirit possessed. So that karmic account, until they finish karmic account with that particular soul, they won't get another body. So they have to suffer. Even the other person also have to suffer. So we should never ever think about that, you know, as far as escaping karmic account is concerned. But the short-term negative karma, long-term negative karma, if it is understood, then you know, you are getting immediate fruit. And so you can avoid doing negative and increase doing positive, because even little action can bring me happiness, you know, that will accumulate, even though I may not estimate, but small little drops and drops makes the well, right? It will accumulate. An answer for that brother's question, of course, when we all have come as actors here and we all have to return home one day, you know. So when we return home, we have to go back as we came originally. And so all karmic accounts have to be settled, cleaned. So there are two ways. One is through meditation, you know, with good karma we can settle. But if by chance I did not do it, say. So the other way is that I have to go through a lot of torture, you know, what we call punishment, and still I have to settle. Because in the end, all souls will become clean, pure, before they return to God's home. So there are two ways. One is honor or dishonor. It's my choice. So I think this detail tomorrow you will understand in the world drama cycle. We will take, yeah. 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 So once we understand, first of all, the experience of soul consciousness and make connection with God, take that spiritual power, when our divinity increases, we understand them very clearly. It needs some percentage of purity of mind, divinity of intellect to conceive us. It is very subtle. You understand?
Yeah.
Yeah, last question. Of course, I don't need to interfere in anybody's karma. That is not my responsibility. You know, like for example, you are going in your car. There is an accident on the road, say for example. Means if I see there is nobody to report, I can only report to the police. There is an accident. That's all I can do. But I should not go and interfere to judge who is right, who is wrong. That is where I involve in karma. I shouldn't. But okay, out of courtesy, I inform police to come and take care. There is an accident. I go with my on my way. Don't stop. Because this is not my duty. I have done my human. No, I have already done my duty, whatever I have to do. But if you go too much in interfering, you know, who is right, who should have been wrong side driving, right side driving, these, that, then you get into trouble. Then you involve yourself. That is where I have to be very careful. You know, I should not get involved in people's karma. But, yeah, to some humanitarian level, I help. But then not, you get into trouble. You know, then you have to go to the court and you have to go to the police station and you have to go here, there. Unnecessary involvement. No, what I say, humanitarian level, that much only. Not out of the way. Because some people, you know, in some countries we see as soon as there is an accident, a big crowd comes. And they are fighting amongst themselves, who is wrong, who is right. But why I want to give judgment? Let people decide, whoever has to decide. You know, I did my duty and finish. No, that's what I'm saying, humanitarian level only. But not giving judgment, who is right, who is wrong, and this should be the person taken. You know, like then I will be involved. That is not necessary. Mm-hmm. Last question.
Okay. What about people who tried to do suicide and don't get it? Or people who is always thinking in kill himself?
No, I think that is suicidal tendency is a kind of sickness. You know, there are some people who have many types of mental sickness. I am not an expert in mental sickness, you know, area. But I know, just for information, this suicidal tendency is also a form of mental sickness. So those kind of people should be taken to the proper medical attention. There could be many, many reasons for that, you know. Not necessarily karma, but because of their health reason. So some whatever may be, medical attention is needed. But some people who commit suicide, they think that they can get off their karma, you know. And actually, they increase their karma. They suffer more than before. So we shouldn't. Because their intention is that, you know, they have some selfish desire and the desire is not fulfilled. They want to show grudge against that person. So they kill themselves thinking they can escape. So intention is wrong. So they have to suffer.
And then the people without the bad intention, you're saying, don't have to suffer that.
Means if that is also why they are suffering is because of some past karma. But their intention is not there. But in the past, they may have had bad intention. Yeah, but they don't remember. So let us, I think, conclude by having a few minutes of meditation and taking back with us some message to improve the quality of our action. Yeah? Hope you are able to get some enlightenment. So you can become a very good karma yogi. Very good actors to inspire others. Om Shanti. I allow my body to sit comfortably. I become aware of myself as a living energy in this body, my instrument. I am aware that this body is perishable. I, the soul, I am eternal. I have been in many bodies before, and I will continue to be in many bodies in the future. I become aware of my eternal existence. I visualize myself as a being of light on the screen of my mind. I am light. I am peace. I am love. I am filled with power. I am a being who is the master. When I am in this awareness of myself as a soul, I notice my speed of thoughts are slow. The quality is positive. My intellect is awakened. I am able to understand the good and bad, the positive and negative, and I choose positive thoughts to put them into action, and I create positive actions. And I continue to accumulate positive actions in my account. With the accumulation of positive account of actions, I do not have any fear of the future, because I know my actions are my witness. My destiny is according to my actions. So I take responsibility to think before I speak, to think before I act. Especially my intention, so that my actions are colored with positivity. I, the soul, I have the free will to create my destiny. I don't need to mourn for what has happened in the past. I can awake. I can wake up to use my free will now to become a better person and create a better me. Because I understand when I change positively in this way, I am helping to bring change in my world that I live in. This wisdom I have gained today of myself being responsible allows me to be careful and carefree and not careless. So I can become an inspiration. My actions become an example for many others to follow. As I walk, as I talk, as I interact, I will always maintain the awareness of myself as the eternal energy, a life force working through this body. So I will emit positive energy wherever I go, bringing light and lightness all around me. I am light. I am light filled with peace, with love, with power. And I radiate these through my whole being. Om Shanti, Shanti. Thank you.